Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Oh god, I'm losing my fucking mind.
I am one half of your
You're a fucker.
Host.
That's
I'm
what
a
you
host
are.
And a producer. Okay. And a producer. Lee Brushnider.
Jesus Christ.
I'm joined
You're
here.
A regular old Dr. Dre.
I wish. I'm joined here with Mr. Mark Davis. Hello, Mark.
How are you, Lee?
I'm good.
Ask me how I am, Lee.
Mark, how are you?
I was good, and then we recorded a segment and a half, and you realized you weren't recording me.
Yeah.
Will you please look over and make sure that I'm recording currently?
I'm looking at the monitor right now, and I can confirm your track is being recorded.
Okay, good.
My track is being recorded.
My...
The track of our guest
Jesus
is being recorded. Will you please introduce our guest, Mark?
I already have. He's a singer.
Mike is what you said.
Yeah, well, it's close. He's a singer. He's a dancer. He's a hell of a romancer. He's my best friend of 20-something years. And all-around great guy and brainiac, Michael DeForest Cosden.
Thank you for reading the introduction I wrote for you. I appreciate that.
It all fit nicely on that little tiny card you brought. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Autobiographical.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm a super fan of this podcast.
It's great to have you.
Thank you for saying that again, because you said that before and you didn't have to say it again, but you did.
Because I
appreciate that.
Can I point out that we were 20 minutes into the recording and I said, are you sure we're recording? As a joke. And we weren't recording.
Well, 2/3 of the tracks were recording.
That's true.
And then rather than subject people to off in the distance, Mark.
Yeah.
There in the corner of the room.
Without
we decided
me going
to
back
just
and...
go ahead and redo our intro again. But yeah, I've had the pleasure of playing on trivia teams with Mike before at your trivia at Nice Guys. Mark,
and you've won a couple.
Yeah. We've got a natural team chemistry, I think.
Yeah.
And Mike and I have a natural team chemistry. We are unbeatable at Taboo.
That's right.
Mm.
And a couple of other games, we kind of share a brain space and know where each other's thinking. So I feel pretty good.
Yeah. And you've asked Mike to take an oath.
So yeah, earlier I was saying that I asked Mike to pledge that he would not throw, if you will, the game by using less of his brain when he's backing you up. And more of it with me, so he makes me look better because we know each other.
Right. And you wouldn't do that, Mike, right?
No.
You wouldn't take friend seniority into question, the age of a friendship?
I brought a Bible to swear on, and I'm swearing on it now.
Okay.
I'll be equally bad for both of you guys, I promise.
Right on.
We also brought a Koran.
Yes, thank you.
Who knows? Because who knows what's going on out there?
And another Bible.
We certainly don't. Thanks for joining us, Mike. Before we get into this week's questions, let's go over our weekly wrap-up. Congratulations to my previous Thursday night winners at number 3, Damn It, Matt's Back, and the Squeaky Chairs defeating the team known as Balls with 94 points. The team known as Team took the number 1 spot at Bury Me Brewing Company this past week. Mark, how did your teams do?
So that's the team. Are they called the team known as Team, or
they were
just called
team.
The team?
Yeah. And I've actually gotten that team name a couple times, but unrelated to each other. So I think that might be one of those my couch pulls out, but I don't meme names where it's just ubiquitous forever in our trivia team name culture as a default name.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, so how'd your teams do at Nice Guys on Wednesday?
It was good. Trivia overall was good. Had a manageable crowd. The winner of the whole night, when everything was said and done, was Bring Us Your Tired, Your Weak, and Your Burning Nikes. With
bringing them to us.
41 points. The favorite
that is a low score.
It is not a high one. The last question was a tough one.
And the wager game
some
started.
Wagered it all, some wagered not much, and that ended up being a big part of the difference. I also had the team name Walking In on Dad Peeing Into Mom's Mouth While Mom Is Finger Banging a Midget.
Whoa.
Which I read that once, so it started kind of emptying out near the end, and this other woman just
came
in.
Wait, can you read that one more time?
Absolutely. Walking In on Dad Peeing Into Mom's Mouth While Mom Is Finger Banging a Midget.
And they call it the Aristocrats.
It's called the Aristocrats. So that was actually the Olivia Wants Mark's Pretzel Dog team. That was their name.
They have a Morpheus team name They change it up every week.
They change it up, yeah, all the time.
That's good.
There was Dong Strikes Again, which is a team of Fletcher and Kristen and Jamie Carmichael that have been kind of coming out and, you know, doing a good job.
Were they Dong Strikes previously, or is that a reference I'm not catching?
It's a reference, I guess.
Okay.
That you're not catching, and I'm not catching it either. They won the first and second rounds. The second round, they won tiebreaker. I'm sorry.
No,
I didn't mean to interrupt you interrupting
me. No, I'm interrupting you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So you go ahead.
So yeah, that's it. Dong Strikes Again. Won the first and second round, and then Bring Us Your Tired, Your Weak, and Your Burning Nikes.
The team name just reminded me of I applied for that Cards Against Humanity writers position, and you have to come up with
where everybody just gives them free ideas.
I'm okay. I just want to get an email back from them that says either I got it or I don't even know if I would want.
They're not
the
gonna hire any one of you. Why would they?
Well, they can hire anybody just to save face and then use all the questions.
How
anyway.
Often do
they
take
do both?
Yeah, they charge. They say they pay like $40 an hour.
Yeah.
When's the last time a Card Against Humanity pack came out?
They come out all the time. Check out the Wikipedia page. You can see all the sets they come out with. They make like micro sets. But one of my card ideas was, and the team name Dong Strikes Again reminded me of this, Dongbert, the aging penis of Dilbert creator Scott Adams.
Okay.
Dongbert, right? He's already got Catbert, Dogbert. Surely his penis's name is Dongbert.
I was going to say Dickbert.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good, I guess. Well, a hearty and sincere congratulations to the Burning the Nikes team that won, and Dongbert and the Aristocrats team for coming out to No Nonsense Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it and want to check it out, upcoming events include No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Monday, September 10th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. A special two-hour edition of No Nonsense Wednesday, September 12th at Bury Me Brewing Company. And please come celebrate the 50th ever No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Thursday, September 13th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. You can find more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every single round. Join us, won't you?
Congrats on 50. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a big number.
Yeah.
Pretty excited. We're all about the numbers lately. We're getting downloads with the podcast. We're doing live trivia events.
Boom, boom, boom.
But for now, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back in round one with some questions.
All right.
Man, that mic stand almost tried to kill me.
Also, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
October, I think it's October 19th.
Mm-hmm.
4 years at Nice Guys doing trivia.
Hey. Nice.
And actually, we mentioned it, I think, before, but Mike is the one who actually got me started doing trivia there. So Mike and a good friend of ours, Luke Flannery, Nay Martin, he and Mike owned a coffee shop / ice cream. They sold vegan ice cream.
We talked about this in our very first episode.
So this is right. this is
the
him.
Guy.
This
yeah.
is him.
If you're a listener and you're wondering about Mike's origins in, Mark's origins in trivia. Me. You only need to listen to this episode to get into the mind of the man himself.
I can't remember if I had asked him or if he had asked me or whatever. I had a little buzzer system set up. We did that for a while. They ended up closing. And then he actually happened to be at Nice Guys, I think, when Greg was just mentioning maybe doing trivia.
That's right.
And you said, I know a guy.
I did know a guy. I still know a guy.
Yep. That's me. I'm that
and
guy.
And then I was inspired to start doing trivia because of Mark.
Wow.
You know, he asked me to cover one night, and I said, absolutely.
Totally up your alley.
Sounds fun. So really, this whole thing can get traced back to you, Mike. How does that feel?
It feels great.
You're responsible for the very podcast that you love.
That's right. Oh, man. That's
and now here
thing.
You are on it. You're making your own dreams come true.
Full circle.
This is a dream, right?
This is
being
a dream.
A trivia podcast.
This is my dream.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
We're glad to be able to realize that.
Before we get started with the questions, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have taken the time to share our podcast on social media and leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, and other platforms. You can now subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. Just go to our website, nononsense.fireside.fm. And you'll see a link to Spotify and all the other platforms you can subscribe to us on right below the header. As I mentioned, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also subscribe to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on Google Play, Overcast, Pocket Casts.
And?
I always forget to mention TuneIn.
Okay. Oh, TuneIn.
You can listen to us on TuneIn.
Holy cow. And?
And, of course, the great and magnificent... Castro!
We're waiting for the checks to start rolling in.
Come on, guys. We're trying to work that name for you, that terrible name that you picked out. It's actually kind of a good name, but it's bold.
Is it a good name, Cast?
It's like they're trying to take it back.
Just because it says Cast, yeah. It's like some guy's name. Like, my name's like Jacoby Castro, and I want my name back.
Wouldn't that be something if he was like, my name is Castro, it just happens to be Castro, and I happen to be into podcasting, and this should have a good connotation to it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks also to the listeners who have written in. We'll be debuting a new segment later this episode.
Based
on an email that we've gotten. You can write us by using the contact form on our website, emailing us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or reaching out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all of which you can find links to on the About section on our website. And in other news, we will also be launching a YouTube channel soon.
Tell them.
Yeah. Got a YouTube channel coming your way, probably in the next couple weeks.
We're probably going to whittle down some of the content and, maybe do a couple clips that people have enjoyed or people have talked to us about. So if there's any specific segment on any episode that you think that would be good to animate and to put up on there so people can share it, let us know.
Yeah, think like light animation, but it's also going to be kind of interactive. You know, we're going to put like a little timer up when we ask the question so you can show it to your friends. You can see, they can see how much time they have before the answer comes up. So,
or how much time they've wasted.
Yeah, another, and listen to our beautiful voices talking in the background.
What a handsome, have I ever told you what a handsome voice you have?
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I wish somebody could take a picture of my face right now.
Like it is a meme. I'm going to take a picture.
Like that meme.
Hold on.
Yep, we're going to take it.
Okay.
You got to do what a before and after, though.
What a handsome voice.
Yeah, we'll just fake the before later. That's all I'll
say. Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
That's real good. That's
Thank
going
you.
Up on the Instagram.
Man. Oh. You too, man.
How royal.
I mean,
I hate
your
my voice.
No, your voice is good, but it's really that mind I like.
Thank you. You know what? I've
got that
realized,
mind.
I've never realized how much like my mom I sound like.
Yeah.
And hearing me record, especially when I laugh, I have the same exact laugh as her. And so when I always listen back every Monday and I'm always like, oh man, all right, that's not so bad. It's like, it's, I don't like
I am just a copy of my parents.
Yeah.
Wow.
Genetics,
way to hijack that. Well, there's genetics and there's also, you know, like living with someone and, you know, learning to speak.
Right.
And laugh and everything the way they do. But
right. Yeah, I always just think about the worst aspects of myself when I look in the mirror and be like, why? Why was I burdened?
I hate you, Dad.
No, I'm just kidding. Except the dad part. That part was true. But anyway, question number one for you guys. You guys are going to team up now.
Yes.
Here we go. Now,
easy
this,
question.
This is supposed to be an easy question, but I actually found that a lot of teams that I asked this to did not get it right. So maybe I'm underestimating it, but... we're going to see how we do here. So here's the question. By what name is the sculpture Cloud Gate in Chicago better known as? By what name is the sculpture titled Cloud Gate better known as?
Mike, how are you looking?
Not great, but I can see from your face that you know it. Or you think you know it.
I do know this. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out here. Help me and the listener out with a hint here.
When you think of architecture,
uh-huh.
If you think of... don't think of architecture like a building. Think like some art. Think art. It is also terminology that is used for the clitoris.
Lee, can you verify that?
Is
that
verified. Extremely verified.
Hard yes.
I've never actually, I only use this word for it. I never use the scientific term.
Lee.
Biological term.
People do not know that Lee has never said the word clitoris. He's not allowed to.
Yeah, I just.
He has a bomb in his
you
heart.
You see, I avoided it just then even.
If he yeah. says it. He just explodes. So
yeah, it's that. I can't. I even feel think bad about for Kyle. For I can't even think about it for that long. So let's just move on before I explode.
Okay.
I don't think I know it.
Okay. There is.
You sure? You sure you don't know it? I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Actually, that you're pulling a blank. Is it your nerves? You good? You need some more water?
I'm good. Let me get a sip of water. Okay. Think about this.
It's a four-letter word.
Here it is.
That's very weird water. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by
We ain't fooling. All right. So, Mark, you got this one, right?
Yes.
What is the answer?
The correct answer is the bean.
That is the correct answer.
Oh. You know, I didn't know that's what that sculpture was called.
Oh, okay.
But I can picture it now that you say it.
It looks just like a giant shiny bean.
And I didn't know that. And I thought, you know, that cannot be the answer.
Oh, it very much is. Cloud. Look in the bean, they
I think
say.
I think the idea is that it's a cloud and you can walk under it.
That makes sense. You know, so it maybe reflects it's a gate. The sky and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah. You know the one. It's that giant reflective sculpture that everybody goes to Chicago. They go and they take a selfie in front of it and they call it the bean.
That's they say, exactly what I did.
Hashtag really? The bean.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, you got a question for us?
I do.
You're on my team now.
Yeah.
You're mine now. Here's an easy one. According to Irish folklore, all leprechauns claim what as their profession? Ooh. According to Irish folklore, all leprechauns claim what as their profession? And I will tell you,
yeah,
I knew this, but I didn't know how. And I had teams last night that said the same thing. They're like, I don't know how I know it. I just kind of figured it.
Huh.
Well, it's got to be an old profession.
Right.
Like a cobbler or something like you know,
yeah.
medieval.
Yeah. All right. So a leprechaun hides his gold at the end of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I know for sure about leprechauns. I also know that there was a movie series.
Right.
They went The Leprechaun.
They went to the hood twice. I know that.
And oh, I never saw the second
well for them or the hood.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought but you were going to say.
Do they acknowledge his profession in those movies? Does it start out and it's like. He's a normal leprechaun at first, and this is what normal leprechauns do.
He becomes a lawyer.
I don't think so.
Lawyer was what I was thinking.
What, really?
Yes, but that doesn't, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right, but that right. was the first, I was like, what is he dressed up like? I don't know. I would hire him to practice law.
Before you said that there was a movie series, I thought you were going to say there was a sighting in Mobile, Alabama.
Right.
That too.
Could be a crackhead.
That too.
Might be a crackhead.
Yeah, that's
they a... They got up in that tree as a crackhead and got a hold of the wrong stuff.
That's a funny viral video. That's so old. Good. That's ancient yeah, meme old. Right okay. there. Yeah, what is that called? Good. What would you search for? Leprechaun news?
Mobile.
Mobile news segment.
Police sketch.
But what we want to know is crackhead is not an occupation. It's a way to occupy your time.
That's correct.
But it's not yeah, occupation.
You cannot be a professional crackhead.
What would it make sense
boy,
to be? A miner,
if you
maybe?
Could. Huh?
A miner, maybe? I mean, looking for gold?
He doesn't look like he's no, dressed to go in a mine. Leprechaun. Asset management.
Like a banker?
Banker. That's what I was thinking. You want to go with banker?
No, it can't be, right? Can it?
He's a bank of one. Like BB-8 in The Last Jedi.
There are multiple leprechauns. They are male Irish fairies.
Is that the
is
answer?
Is that a hint?
No. No, I'm just telling you.
Dropping some knowledge?
Fairy is not a job. Yeah, because okay. you said a bank of one, and I was saying there are more than like one leprechaun. There are.
Oh, well, I just saw them all as independent agents operating, wow, okay. you know, in
they're
a
all
totally
doing their
free market libertarian environment where they can do whatever they want with those assets.
Speaking
There's no
of libertarians, Mike Cosden's father, Gary Cosden, gave us a review, our first review on Stitcher.
Yeah, he did.
That's
he's going to out his political viewpoints there. Jeez,
yeah. He's probably libertarian.
Yeah.
We're not here to argue.
I'm cool with that. That's fine. You know, everybody's entitled to their political opinions for sure. And I'm sure he's read a lot more books than I have.
Yeah. He's a really smart guy.
Maybe we'll have him on. Maybe you guys can both come on in a future episode.
Maybe they can play some music for us while we think.
I want to say banker, but we have to come up with something here.
I'm going
to
defer to you. You go with what you
want. You don't have any strong second guesses or?
Maybe some kind of an entertainer. I don't know how they're dressed.
They are dressed very showmanlike.
Yeah.
Banker. Let's just go
for it.
Is it a banker?
That is incorrect. The correct answer is cobbler, actually. The first thing Mike said, they are shoemakers.
You said cobbler?
I did say it, but I don't know why I said it. I know I didn't actually know it.
Is it an old-timey job, like cobbler or something?
Oh. Yeah. Man, I wish I'd heard that, because they do have those huge shoes usually. They're usually depicted with very luge.
I guess it's because the buckles on their shoes were always very prominent, so maybe I just thought, like, oh, they got like something to do with shoes.
But that's cool. I like that question.
Thanks.
It's a thinker.
Yeah.
And it's interesting as well.
And I got people that said miner. I got people that said banker. I had two or three people that knew that it was cobbling.
They got a lot of gold, you know. It's like, what do they got all that gold for but to bank it away?
Right.
It's literally a bank of gold.
So I also didn't know this, but the whole story with the leprechaun is if you find one, you take him. And you hold him hostage. And he gives you three wishes to let him go.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Like, I never knew that was a part of the whole thing. You're supposed to fucking nab him and be like, get over here, you little shit.
I have and then he's like,
after I don't know how long of struggling, he's like, all right, let me go because I want some wishes. And then you get three wishes.
So what's the moral of that, that people are supposed to learn from this legend? Just kidding.
It's not a moral tale. Steal small people, yeah. I guess.
So and give fucking, you whatever you want?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess that's a hostage situation. I have this fucking little man. Let him. This is the police. Let him go. I want a fucking plane to fucking the Middle East. I want $3 million in unmarked bills. And I want, you know, fucking a speedboat.
It's like that Action Bronson song, Opportunity Be Knockin'. I think that's the moral lesson is once you see opportunity, nab it up. And don't let go until you hold it hostage.
Until it's staying with you against their will and starting to develop Stockholm Syndrome.
Right, and then they just start giving you everything.
All
right,
speaking of giving stuff.
Let me give you a question.
Please, us a question.
Yes, yes. So Mike is back over with Mark now.
He is physically...
And don't try harder than you did on the last time.
He's physically getting up and walking
over
here.
I want the same amount of intellectual effort out of you.
You got it.
Here we go. When not being confused with people who stream gameplay footage online, Twitchers are known as appreciators of what totally legal hobby? I just want to clarify, it's not a crackhead.
Okay.
Twitchers, what are they? Not people who stream games online or anything like that. It is another hobby entirely. It's totally illegal. What practitioners of that hobby are known as Twitchers?
It's totally legal, you said?
Yes.
Yikes.
There's nothing wrong with being a Twitcher in this context.
I know. So it's involving Twitch.
It has nothing to do with the website or streaming games.
So what hobby would cause you to Twitch? Or maybe the name has nothing to do with that at all.
You know what my first inclination is for some reason?
Huh.
Bird watching.
Huh.
I don't know why, and you can tell me I'm an idiot. I don't know why that like comes to me so quick, but I don't think it has anything to do with actual twitching. I mean, he said legal hobby, so it's not crack. It's not bath salts.
And meth isn't legal yet.
So. Not yet. I'm still working on it.
I think Morgan you should go with it. If you have that gut reaction...
Yeah, I don't know. You don't have anything to counter it?
I really don't. Did I mention I'm not very good at trivia? Am I on the wrong podcast?
Guys, I thought this was This American Life. Let's go with birdwatching, I guess.
I think it's a
good
guess.
We're going to go with birdwatching.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, it is birdwatching.
Nice.
Yep. Holy shit.
Birdwatchers are known as Twitchers. Let's see here. I've got an article here. Why are bird watchers called Twitchers? This is from The Guardian. Any serious bird watcher will take great exception to being called a Twitcher. There's a world of difference between the two. Bird watching entails making careful notes about the birds one sees, even if it's the most common, boring bird imaginable. Twitchers are only interested in adding to the list of rare birds which they have seen. So this is.
Are you going to ask Mallory Goff to marry you?
No, this is just saying basically Twitcher is a derogatory term. So true bird watchers are better than Twitchers because they actually have some science to them. Whereas casual bird watchers that just want to check things off a list.
This sounds like a lopsided op-ed.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't. I guess
fake
I should have researched this
fake
ahead
news.
Of time. But
Trying to make division inside the bird watching community.
Yeah, don't
they're listen. All on the same side.
Ignore the mainstream media, people. Ignore. Got a second question for me?
I do.
For us? Mike's back
for
over
you.
Here.
Mike is back over there.
Move to the other side of the room here. Yeah, more effort. You got
more effort on this side.
Who was Walter Mondale's vice presidential running mate in the 1984 U.S. presidential election?
So Mondale was the Democrat running that year, correct?
84? 1984?
Yes.
Was Walter Mondale Michael Dukakis's running mate?
Walter Mondale ran more than once. So he was the presidential candidate this time, right? And you're asking who the VP was?
Who was Walter Mondale's vice presidential running mate in the 1984 U.S. presidential election?
Okay.
So is Mondale versus somebody and his vice president?
Yeah, Chell. So this was a year before I was born. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be my excuse for not knowing this.
Well, I was three, so clearly I have vivid
you
memories
known,
of
man.
Mondale.
Gosh.
I mean, who were some Democrats that were active at that time?
I only know Dukakis because of the movie Donnie Darko.
Dan Quayle, was he somewhere in the 80s?
Is Quayle a Democrat?
I mean, I'm wrong about that.
Quayle was a Republican.
Yeah, I was not very politically active
at that
time. He
was George H.W. Bush's vice president.
Mondale?
No.
Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle,
yeah. Okay.
That's when he couldn't spell
potato. I thought you were giving us the answer. Yeah, I was like, what?
I think Dukakis is a good guess.
They just switched later?
That doesn't seem right.
Dukakis was like, you be my vice president. I'll be your vice president.
You get next.
Wasn't there a female VP?
He put
VP?
Four quarters on the pool table.
Wasn't there a female VP at some point in the 80s that the Democrats ran? Am I remembering that right?
We're trying to...
Just clear my throat.
Oh, okay. That was I thought that was a signal. Auditory signal.
If it was a signal, it's not going to help because I don't know their names.
So. I would leave this blank, I think. I might write down Dukakis if I had to get some of an answer, but I don't know this. I don't know where to go.
Just throw out a name.
I don't know.
Dukakis.
Yeah.
That's incorrect. Mike was on the right track.
Oh, no.
It was the first female.
What was her name?
And her name was...
Her name was Geraldine Ferraro.
Oh, Geraldine Ferraro.
I had a feeling it was a sound.
Michael Dukakis ran in 88.
Oh.
Geraldine.
That's one of the first, I was eight then, and that was one of the first.
That makes sense.
Times I remember being like, oh shit, like Democrats and Republicans and stuff. So yeah, Geraldine Ferraro.
Geraldine Ferraro. Congratulations to you on your nomination. In 1984, a couple decades ago.
That's happened very rarely since then.
All right. I have a history question for you guys.
Okay. I'm bad at history.
I don't know.
Mike, what are your strong suits as far as trivia is concerned?
I think history is one, but it'll be very embarrassing now since I didn't know a recent American history question just 20 seconds ago.
Right.
We're going back a little bit further than 1984, but I'm not going to say too much more because I might give you a hint. The phrase crossing the Rubicon, meaning to do something that can't be undone, comes from the actions of what military leader? The phrase crossing the Rubicon...
I've got a thought, but
meaning to do something that can't be undone comes from the actions of what military, historical military leader?
Are you going into your mind palace?
No, I'm so bad with history and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Military leader. I mean, that's a lot of time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Was that the exact quote?
Crossing the Rubicon.
When this happened, I don't think he said, we've now crossed the Rubicon. But what he did say was, the die has been cast. Which I think is pretty epic, actually, to say that.
We probably have the same person in mind who crossed something famous.
I don't know. Who are you thinking?
George Washington, crossing the Delaware.
Yeah, that's a good guess. I was thinking it's older than that. I was thinking it's like Alexander the Great or some... older military leader. I don't know. I guess I just don't know how old the phrase is. But that would certainly make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Rubicon is a word that would have been used when George Washington was a general.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's just crossing.
Right.
I can't think of many other obvious, maybe like Hitler when they crossed into Poland or something, but like.
So. Or like Napoleon. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any famous crossings to do with Napoleon.
The Isle of Elba, where he was banished.
That's right.
That I know from crosswords.
Crosswords.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You are a known crossword puzzler.
Am I? Am I known in the community?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a minute since I've seen you with a book in your hand.
Just on my plane while I was in Milwaukee.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. There are certain words you can only learn from crosswords, like epi.
Whoa.
So we did just say that at exactly the same time.
That's weird.
Can you pan that in stereo?
Yeah, we're going to have to get that split hard band. Let's say...
You go with your guess.
Let's say Washington. Yeah. We're going to say George Washington.
It is Julius Caesar.
Mm. Oh.
Julius Caesar crossing the Rubicon back into Italy. Apparently doing so would make him an enemy of the state. They told him... I think they told him, like, don't come back. Your job's done.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The people wanted him... The Roman people wanted him back. And so he was like, I got this army. The crowd loves me. So let's cross this Rubicon. And I guess he won a very short civil war. And that is when he became
emperor. What is a Rubicon?
It's the river that at the time.
That's the name of the river?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it sounds like a Latin word, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It divided Italy from land that had been occupied by the Celts.
Oh.
Is there a hardcore history about
there is about
Julius
the Celts
Caesar?
And the Gauls and yeah.
So it's this really is probably one. You could probably find this in that episode if you're looking for a new podcast, check that one out.
All right.
So yeah,
here's your third question, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
From sea to sea is the motto of what country? Oof. From sea to sea is the motto of what country? I will tell you it is originally written in Latin, but most countries, they do that shit.
Sure.
So.
Well, it has to border on two seas, obviously.
Right. But has the definition and knowledge of what are seas changed since this country established this motto?
Maybe.
Like, half of the world may not have been discovered when this motto was written.
It had a lake on one side. Yeah, like, that's a sea.
I can't see beyond it. Yeah, I mean, my instinct says that that's American history that I'm just not familiar with. It's like you don't know that this is the motto. Our motto is "In God We Trust," right?
Yeah,
that's the national motto.
Partibus unum.
Also, when United Kingdom, maybe
from sea to sea, and you know, it doesn't sound like a United Kingdom sort of motto either.
Yeah,
I don't know.
From sea to shining sea, also.
Right.
Would we just rip that off of another country?
This is
from
rough, man.
From sea to sea.
I want to say America.
That can't be right. Really?
I mean,
maybe it was at some. It says it currently is the motto.
Yes. What other country wraps from two seas?
I mean, Canada, a lot of Mexico, Costa Rica. It's on two.
In Latin?
It sounds like something that had like an empire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it is the UK. It doesn't seem like them, but
Great Britain.
Yep. Lee,
Is Great Britain? I always get confused. The UK is a collection of countries,
yes.
And Great Britain is the primary country. So let's say Great Britain or America. Those are my two guesses.
You go with what you think.
No, I want you to go with that. I'm conceding to you on this. Those are my.
I'm going to say the name of the country has been said.
Okay. Really? All right. And I've been saying them all.
It cannot be America, right? There's just no way. It cannot be our motto.
Mark would ask this question and it would be America. Mark would ask this question and that'd be the answer.
Hi.
It would be like a secret motto, or like no, In God We Trust is the creed of the land, and sea to sea is the motto. But I'm leaning towards Britain, and yes, I believe we would be so bold to steal their motto and put it into one of our songs.
All right,
so
go for it.
I think
with it.
Yeah, Britain.
The correct answer is Canada. It's America just up higher.
Oh, man.
That's why when you said America, it can't be America. I was like, mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, there's Canada. I'm like,
mm-hmm. I would like to retract the mouth. And then you're like,
what
noise.
About Britain? I'm like, mm-mm.
I would like to retract the mouth noise I made after you said Canada.
Yeah, you totally raspberried it, and that's, I was like, "Oh my god!" Like Mike's like Canada, you're like fucking Canada. Yeah. They're fucking. I'm sure their motto is just A.
My apologies to our Canadian listeners,
and I had no faith in that guess either.
We're ignorant Americans. So.
Yes,
we're just having fun. We're having fun, but you learn something new every day.
Indeed,
you do.
You know what I just learned?
What?
We're about to take a break.
Hey-o!
You
yes,
see what
are.
I did there?
Yeah,
I see
like that.
See that turnaround?
Nice segue.
And then when we come back, we're going to have some missed connections or missed corrections. And we're going to have some more questions.
Delightful.
And we're going to have a segment?
Yes. We're going to have a new segment, but in third round.
In the third act.
Yeah, third act.
Chekhov's gun.
Yep. Okay. Oh, boy.
Bye.
Awkwardly, bye. We're back in round two. It's time for some missed corrections.
Missed corrections.
Mike, you sounded so good on that. That's a good one.
Dude, those 4 hours of rehearsals paid off.
Yeah.
We should have tried to do some counter melody or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, we do. That's where we come in.
I'll do the main line.
Just want to tell the listeners, Lee's on the run.
I'm on the run.
Lee's scared.
About what?
Lee just went out of the room and swapped out a question.
Oh, yeah.
He realizes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because did we have a perfect round?
I didn't think. So here's the thing.
Hold on. Did we just have a perfect round? Did we get all three questions?
No.
I'm only tracking my own.
We missed one. I got Bean and I got George Washington.
You missed. Yeah. No, you missed Julius Caesar.
Well, yeah. But yeah,
remember,
you went out and you swapped.
Forget about George Washington. Remember Julius Caesar on that one.
Okay.
Because you know, you might hear that question again at some point, maybe on a Monday
night.
True.
Yep.
And your gut will be to remember George Washington, but burn that memory.
Oh no, I've
burned that memory.
He's just gone from my brain now. He can go fuck himself.
You know what I heard? I think we've talked about this on the podcast, but maybe not.
What have you heard?
Caesar salad dressing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly named after Julius Caesar because he liked it or something like that.
Okay. That seems crazy.
Somebody else told me that's not true. There's actually a chef, a Mexican chef named Caesar, that made it, and that's who the salad dressing is named after. But maybe we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but early in my days of trivia hosting, I would just like Google trivia and like use that to get my questions, you know? And I definitely saw that on a lot of top sites is what general has his own salad dressing? And it's supposed to be Caesar, but it's apparently that's not true. So I don't know. Maybe it is true and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And you can write in with a missed correction. We've got a couple more, I guess, Mark. I'm not privy to these. So let's hear what we got.
The salad's creation is generally attributed to restaurateur Cesare Cardini.
Mm-hmm.
An Italian immigrant who operated restaurants in Mexico and the United States.
Okay.
I buy it.
We're doing miscorrections, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you would have told me that. I wish I would have known.
Didn't we just do an outro that said,
well, yeah.
Did you bring it up?
So, Abraham Lincoln, you referred to as the 13th president of the United States, I believe.
No, he was the 16th.
He was actually the 16th.
Mm.
Can I just tell you, I'm listening to a great podcast called Presidential, where every week they go through a different president, and I just got to Abraham Lincoln today.
I've
got
to listen to that.
Yeah.
They ask, what would this president be like on a blind date, which is a really dumb question, but it does give you some insight.
They have one expert that they ask that to, right?
Yes.
Every episode they talk about a new president.
It's a great
podcast. They cover a new president. I recommend that as well. I enjoyed that. It has a definite ending.
It does.
Are they all caught up?
Now they're doing like constitutional law and different stuff. I'm way behind on it, but yeah,
okay. So the podcast continues.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's only 45. Well, they probably have less than 45 because there's a couple. No, there's 45 total presidents.
Yeah.
Not 45 slots.
Yeah.
Also, last episode, I referred to the WWF as the World Wrestling Foundation. It actually stood for World Wrestling Federation, which I knew.
I thought you said we talked about the World Wildlife Foundation. See,
I think that may have been what happened as I mushmouthed something.
Yeah.
I didn't go back and listen. I'm just going to accept that I was probably wrong.
Gotcha.
But I do know that WWF is World Wrestling Federation.
Right. And as mentioned before, I was very upset when that acronym change happened. And, you know, inordinately upset. Like, what? WWF, it just had such a ring to it that WWE didn't.
Yeah. That E sound, WWE.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. And
I'm
that's,
good.
That's when the wrestling went to shit, too. So that's funny.
Yeah. How perfect. So those are my missed corrections.
Okay. I don't have any missed corrections, but I will be introducing the new segment later, which you want to go in totally cold. We're going to review a question.
Yes.
Or rate a question, rather.
And, we're going to rate it. Okay, so, because Mike is here, and he's going to give his opinion also.
Yep, yep. So I'll introduce that later. But let's go ahead and get into round number two. I went first last time, so...
You asked first?
No. Yeah, I did. I asked first. So
now it's my turn to ask.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Mike, hit it. Let's get this thing going, man.
Uh-oh. Physical touch.
Yeah, what you got? Where's your seniority now?
Who has been played in a movie by both Robert Duvall and Colin Farrell? Who has been played in a movie by both Robert Duvall and Colin Farrell? This is a person in American history.
Yeah.
Nothing's
the guy
to
from
mind.
Phone Booth, probably. No.
Who has Colin Farrell played? I feel like we'd be able to identify with his roles a little better than Robert Duvall, right?
Robert Duvall was in the Godfather series. Great in that.
As Colin Farrell family has, I hope, nothing to do with.
Yeah, I don't think they've made a modern Godfather adaptation.
That'd be bad.
The series continued. The books.
Right.
Robert Duvall. He was in... Lonesome Doves, which is a Western.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's based on a true story, though. I feel like it's a politician, maybe.
I'm trying to think of any real people that Colin Farrell has played, and nothing is coming to mind.
Mm-hmm. Are these are both film roles, did you say? Or
I did not say.
Okay, so this could
include
theater.
Played in a movie by both. Played in a movie, it says.
Man. This is a shame, because they're two pretty good actors.
And kind of different actors, mm-hmm. So it's surprising they had the same role.
Yeah. That's what makes me think it's... Wait.
Uh-oh.
Colin Farrell was in a remake of Total Recall, right? That's not right. I mean, that was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wait, and you said it was like a real figure in American history.
I forgot.
Mike, I did. Yes, that's correct.
Well, I mean, there's an MK Ultra story right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Total Recall did not happen, if anybody's confused besides me. It's not a historical movie. I'm sorry. I just got sidetracked on the Colin Farrell thing.
You're right, though.
And I was, he was in that remake. Oh, man, I wish I knew this one.
Was he in a movie about, like, the IRA? About, like, the Irish, the Trouble, as they call it? I don't know if that...
Is that the gang name, the Trouble?
No.
The Troubles were the whole time that the Protestants and Catholics were fighting each other.
Yeah.
A couple of really good, extensive episodes and profiles of, Profiles in Eccentricity.
All right.
Cool. Shout out to them.
But I don't know any figures in that, and that would be American anyway.
Yeah, so he was also Bullseye in the Daredevil movie, and I would love to see a 1960s Batman-style action comedy show where Robert Duvall plays Bullseye. That could be fun.
Yeah.
But also not real. Yeah, I don't know about this one, man.
I think I should throw in the towel.
Yeah, this is the role. It is a historical figure.
Think American West.
Okay, so you did say a Western.
Lonesome Doves. I don't know
the characters. So you got like your Billy the Kid. You got like your...
Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp. Ooh, yeah.
Could it be Wyatt Earp? Is there? There's like a million Wyatt Earp movies.
There are. There was Tombstone and
mm-hmm, The Outlaw. Jesse James.
Wyatt Earp's a pretty good guess.
Yeah, that is a pretty good guess, isn't
it? I say go for it.
Wyatt Earp is our guess.
The correct answer is Jesse James.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You said it and almost like got like railroaded.
Yeah.
Once you got to Wyatt Earp, it was like, man, I remember there's a Wyatt Earp movie and a movie with Wyatt Earp in it. And yep. It was a movie where like.
Not the first time we've committed too early. Sometimes. That's right.
That was a pretty healthy amount of guessing. I don't think you guys.
Well, I didn't investigate the Jesse James idea too far That's ahead true. In my mind. Yeah. I didn't think, like, I was like, I can see Colin Farrell playing Jesse James. Robert Duvall didn't immediately spark, like, oh, yes, he definitely played.
That's why I try to give people as much time as they need to write down answers, because I don't want them. But
yeah, we would have had a whole round to mull that over, in a live setting. But yeah, okay. That's cool.
I call clock on you. Yeah. I won't do it again. I'm sorry.
No, it was time. It was time. I spent too much time thinking about Total Recall and fictional Daredevil TV shows, so I blame myself.
All right, it's your turn.
That's right.
Ask away.
Okay. What 1990s PBS game show was created in response to a National Geographic survey stating that 1 in 4 Americans could not locate the Soviet Union or the Pacific Ocean? See, this is actually a good question I swapped in because we were talking about people not being able to identify places on a map earlier. So you see what I did there? It's a little callback. It's a little comedy school for y'all out there.
I think you know this one.
Is this Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
It's got to be, right?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I couldn't remember if that was PBS or
maybe
not.
Maybe it wasn't PBS, but it sounds right.
I think it was. I mean, that makes the most sense. Where in the World is making, kind of, he said 1980-something?
90.
90s.
Oh, yeah. Let's go with it. Go ahead and say it.
Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Can I hear that from you guys in the voice of the a cappella group Rockapella, the house band on the show?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Not correct, no.
And you're wrong.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. I wouldn't have brought Rockapella into this if I was just pulling your chain.
Bow.
That would be a great slogan for this show.
They were amazing.
They did a bunch of shows. They like went on tours where they would do other songs, and then every fucking show, people would be like, fucking do it.
I bet they're still together. I have a feeling.
What was her name?
Rockapella. Yeah. Rockapella.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to look it up.
Look it up on Twitter. Maybe we'll at them. Say, hey, we love Rockapella. You guys. Come to Fort Myers. Come to the Barber B Man.
There you go. The Barber B Man.
We'll do a live podcast. You can be the house band.
Barber B Man. Get it? Because they're barbershop quartet.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, thanks.
Good one.
Here's my second to last question for this round. The penultimate question, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the Gary K. Wolfe novel that Who Framed Roger Rabbit was based on? What is the name of the Gary K. Wolfe novel?
Is it Cool
that
World?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was based on?
Ouch.
It can't be Who Framed Roger Rabbit, right? That would be crazy.
No. So what do we got? We got Toontown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's...
It's kind of like a fake film noir, so you'd think it would have like a cool film noir type name.
Right, like Antics in Toontown. Something like that. Excuse me.
You're excused.
I'm not calling time on you this time.
I'm not going to know this one.
No, I don't. There's no reference to it in the movie that I can think of.
Acme Adventures. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The rabbit who... the rabbit who was framed. Who's the lead actor in that? Bob
Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins.
Done a lot since then.
I have no idea.
No, I don't either. I really don't even know where to guess.
Blanking on this one, man. Just going to leave a blank.
Okay.
I got no guess that would be.
The correct answer is, who censored Roger Rabbit?
Really?
Robert Rabbit. Who censored Roger Rabbit?
I think if we thought about that for 1,000 years, we would not have gotten it.
That's one you got to know.
Yeah.
That's one, I would call that a 7-pointer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, extreme, I think it was difficulty. A 7 or 8. It was up there.
Okay.
It's a good one, though.
Right on. Did anybody get that?
Yeah, one team, but with questionable. Through questionable, right. Questionable means, yeah, which we're going to talk
like
about
a,
later.
Yeah, that's like a table of grandmothers knowing what DMX's real name is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that kind of thing.
Yep. You've had that happen as well. Okay. Here's my second question for you guys. It is a food question.
Ooh.
What is the name of a Vietnamese sandwich that's made of a baguette cut lengthwise and filled with savory meats, cheeses, and or veggies?
I actually whispered, I know this one, yeah. As you were saying this, I'm very embarrassed that you'll be able to hear that in the podcast.
No, that's good.
He's calling it out. Mike knows this. So you're pretty confident.
I don't know. I think. What do you,
Mark,
what do you,
do you want to, do you have any ideas?
What's banh mi?
I think it's a banh mi. Because that's usually like a baguette with some meat in there, some pork or something.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know of it. I know they have banh mi at Nice Guys.
Do they? Cool.
They did. They do it in like the little stinky buns. Yeah, I think banh mi is a good guess. B-A-H-N space M-I. Banh mi.
You nailed that shit. 100%. Yes. Spelling and everything. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I had, I would say about 80% of my teams got that right. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good. It's good.
Good deal.
Get some of that culture.
Yeah.
All right, here is your last question for this round. In what year did Teletubbies premiere on TV? In what year did Teletubbies premiere on TV?
What decade are you thinking?
Definitely the 90s.
I think so, too. It couldn't be late 80s, right? It's got to be 90s. Mm-hmm. It's got to be like early to mid 90s, right?
I remember thinking this show is quite below my age level.
Okay, it definitely was below my age level.
I think anybody over the age of 5 would say
that. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that helps. I was 5 in 1990, so, you know, I'm a millennial, if I can remind you.
A zennial, yeah. Yes.
No. I'm not a zennial.
Mike, what do you
I'm
think? Not a is faded... he a millennial or is he a zennial?
I think, unfortunately, we're both zennials.
Yep.
Zennial is a made-up generation.
They're all made up.
By one magazine started this. Business Insider.
I don't think they started it.
They were the first to pick up on it and propagated it. And now we've got meme makers.
I don't know if that's true.
Adopting this obnoxious personality. It's clearly baby boomers, Generation X, millennials.
Zennials, millennials.
Post-millennials. Post-millennials.
Post-millennials, that's great.
That's terrible.
That's really good.
Have you been following any of this Eminem, MGK back and forth?
I have not followed it. I can't bring myself to listen to a new Eminem album because the last few have just been bad, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I do think it's interesting to see the world completely turn on Eminem this time.
Oh, I don't think that's been the case.
Really?
Do you?
Yeah,
it hasn't been my experience.
From what I've seen, a lot of people are quite upset with him for saying... using words against Tyler, the Creator, and other people, you know, other favorites, basically. Post-millennial favorites.
Yes.
What do you think? What's your experience been?
Oh, I mean, it's just a lot of people, every time someone, one of them will drop a song, and then everybody will be like, oh, and then the other one will drop a song, and we'll be like, oh, it's just kind of bad.
I think all that stuff is about as real as wrestling.
Yeah,
basically.
I would not be surprised.
There are backroom deals where they know, like, hey, we're both going to get a huge publicity bump on this.
Did you see the thing Brie Larson posted, like, pictures of her in the Captain Marvel costume and the internet, like, freaked out?
I saw a picture, but I didn't see any of the freak out.
She tweeted at Entertainment Weekly, hey, want to break the internet? And the Entertainment Weekly was like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow at noon. And everyone's like, this is fake. This isn't a real conversation. This is marketing. And it's like, duh. Who would see that and be like, oh, this is an organic conversation?
Right.
It's like, well, what did you have in mind? It's just like just the idea to break the internet. It's like, well... I don't know if you putting, you know, something...
We should do that with this episode. You guys think we should break the internet with this episode?
Yeah, guys.
Let's do it.
What a homegrown conversation that was. I'll show up after I get some sleep on my purple mattress. Purple will be delivered straight to your door.
Purple, please send us a check for 36 cents based on our streams, downloads, etc.
I will gladly help any company that uses Tim and Eric in their advertising.
Were we talking about Teletubbies?
Yeah, right. That's I didn't even remember if we...
Yeah. That's right. I was like, what question are we on right now? So anyway, yes.
Something is saying to me like 93 or 94, somewhere in there.
I feel like it's later than that.
Really? Well, I'm trying to think, like, do you think it was around when you were in high school?
I think, I want to say 7th or 8th grade, which for me would be 1996 or 1997.
Mm-hmm. And I would have been in high school at that point, and I do know it existed by that point.
Right.
I feel like, because I remember people making fun of it.
Maybe it's 95. Clinton was president, I feel. And that was 94, right? Or that was 96.
They did talk about Monica Lewinsky a lot on Teletubbies, I remember.
92, 96. So it's inside of
1992. Poe has a stain
on her dress. Yeah. It was really topical.
Jerry Falwell was all about bashing the Teletubbies.
Yeah. Lala. Yeah. I found out that Lala and Poe were both played by female actors.
Mm-hmm.
So there were like supposed to be two guys, two girls. They just didn't say it. They were all like gender neutral.
Right.
But one of them had a bag and was like,
who fucking cares what gender the Teletubbies are? So
I'll tell you who does. Fucking Jerry fucking Falwell cared.
Yeah, rotten hell, you bastard.
Wow.
We're brought to you by Bonobos.
I love not having sponsors.
It's beautiful.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, so
I hope you also like not having Christian listening.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
This is a comedy podcast.
Yeah. When all is said and done.
Yeah. I don't even believe in hell, so that whole the joke that I made doesn't even make sense in my own reality. So that's how fake it is.
Virtual reality. Yeah. Virtual insanity.
Let me have my giggle.
Yeah.
Let me have my giggle about Jerry Falwell.
Oh yeah.
He made a lot of people feel bad.
Okay.
When he was around. So
Teletubbies.
But, yeah.
So 1995, I think?
His favorite show, the Teletubbies. Let's get back to that. 95, I like the sound of that.
All right.
I like the sound of that. Let's go with it. 95.
The correct answer is 1997.
What? Mm, that was my gut year. The first year that popped in my head.
And you didn't say it once.
Didn't I?
Nope.
No?
Oh.
I thought I said not. I was in whatever grades I was in, 96, 97. I thought I said that. But
you did say that. Yep. Yeah.
Whatever, it's fine. I'll just, I guess, be known as the guy that didn't know what year the Teletubbies debuted forever in history. See, it gets to you, Mike. It gets to you.
Now you're going to do a tough one.
Yes, this is a tough one, but this is... one team got this.
Okay.
One team. Hope. Yep, I asked this at two different trivia nights because there wasn't any overlap in players, so I felt like it was fair to recycle a question. And it's also... I think a really fun current events question.
Okay.
Which I know you're a fan of.
Yes.
Good luck, guys. Here we go. A homeless shelter in Juneau, Alaska announced last week it will be getting a name change after decades of operating under what suggestive name that could be mistaken for a place to have anonymous sexual intercourse?
It's gotta be. Do you know what it's gotta be?
No.
It's got to be the glory hole.
But why would it be called that?
Because you're in Alaska and your fucking mind's fucked up.
What?
You got 30 days of night, whatever the hell, and you're like,
vampires.
Glory hole.
What kind of establishment was this?
This was a homeless shelter.
You'd think there was a homeless shelter.
And emergency shelter.
A sign outside. That
neon. Neon by design. The glory hole. Anonymous sexual act. I mean, I guess it could be the masquerade. It could be Eyes Wide Shut.
These are all horrible names for homeless shelters.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a suggestive title.
The name itself could lead people to be confused that it's a place that they could engage in anonymous sexual intercourse.
What else would there be besides that? Yeah. Like a key party? Something about swingers?
The AshleyMadison.com.
We only have actresses that highest vocal fry.
Life's short.
Ads.
Have an affair.
Aren't you glad we don't have ads, listeners? Please share our podcast. Please, just give us a share
and
a
save our lives.
Yeah.
And please visit the Ashley Madison Homeless Center in Eugene, Alaska. Check it on Foursquare.
Well,
can we say rest in peace, Foursquare?
Is that not a thing anymore?
I don't know. They kind of got pushed out of the market by Facebook.
Reference, yeah.
Yeah, glory hole is my guess.
I say go with it, because if it's not, I'm going to feel very embarrassed.
All right, we're going to say glory hole.
The name that they are being changed to is the Glory Hall.
Oh.
Formerly known as the Glory Hole.
So what? That's
correct.
Holy That's shit.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I'm more surprised that no one knew the not with that clue.
Right? I had a couple teams wrote down something like rest area, pit stop.
What?
Washroom.
In and out was another good guess. In and out.
It says a lot about those teams and the people that are playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think that this name change is going to do anything to erase the connotation? All right. And with that, we will close out this round. And we are going to introduce a new segment when we come back and have our final questions.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
And we're back.
We're live.
It is finally time for our new segment. Rate my question. Take it away, Mark. Rate my question.
Rate my question.
Should I try that again?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. It's we're keeping like it. That. That's all our right. new theme. That's how we do it. We just make it up on the spot.
With awkward stumbling afterward.
And that'll be the new theme for this. So if you have any questions, you can write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or just reach out to us through the myriad methods that you can find on our website.
Yes.
But this question comes to us from Taylor. Listener Taylor writes, I heard about a bad trivia question from a friend recently at a bar they went to.
Ooh.
Here's the question.
Okay.
I'm going to read you their comments and then we'll talk about it.
Now, the question, we should tell the listeners, you have listened, you know this question.
I know
You've
it.
You've molded
I
over.
I received the email. I had my gut reaction. I thought about it. I paced and said, But we're going to get to all that.
Okay.
We're going to get to all that. You guys are going in cold, though.
Okay.
But that's okay, right?
It's fine.
The question is, what color is the Kool-Aid man? That is the question. The host claimed that the answer was red. My friend and I agree that the Kool-Aid man is clear and his insides are red, but have also been other colors over the years. What are y'all's thoughts on this question and ones like it? I don't think the answer is subjective. I think he's obviously clear, but what about iffy things like this? Aside from the fact that this is a potentially subjective answer, this question, in my opinion, is dumb. Thanks for the question, Taylor. What do you guys think about this? Mike, what color is the Kool-Aid man? Is he red or is he clear?
I think he's red. I'm trying to think of other examples of most or like what do you call him, a mascot?
Yeah he's a mascot. He's a mascot,
yeah, that are clear. I mean, I don't know, you never see him empty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know that I've ever seen him empty. I don't think I have.
Who would want to?
No one.
That would be a sad day.
You're say red.
I think so. I mean,
okay,
yeah, it is a stupid question,
Mark. If Mike came up to you as a player and you asked this question, first of all, what would your answer be?
My answer would be clear. My answer would be that he's clear because, yeah, I've seen him with different color Kool-Aid inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
And his color is dictated more by his insides than his outsides. But he...
Because it's what's on the inside that counts.
Aw.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where you're going with that, right?
Nope.
Now? Oh, okay.
No, just saying, like, they asked the question, what color is... snow bear, polar bear. I couldn't think of the word polar. Polar bear's fur is clear.
What? Really?
Yeah, it's white because of the snow.
Well, let me ask you this. What color is that glass of iced tea?
There you go. What color is a glass of iced tea?
Correct.
Well, the glass is clear. The iced tea is brown.
But the Kool-Aid man is also what is inside of him. He's not just like his skin.
But
an interesting, yeah. Is the Kool-Aid man more than the sum of his parts? Who is he really? Is he the vessel or is he...
I mean, I think you'd have to say, what color is the fruit punch Kool-Aid man?
Is he carrying something inside of his deformed body?
I also never saw him have different color stuff inside of him.
I can think of him. I know I've seen it very specifically, very recently, where he had green.
In drawings and stuff, he definitely, like on the packets, I remember when I was a kid, he had different colors inside of him.
Yeah. Depending on what flavor it was. Yeah. I remember the lemonade one.
Exactly. He was yellow. It was yellow. There was a purple one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm. If you think about it, is the Kool-Aid Man... So I kind of lean towards... First of all, this question just sucks.
I was going to say,
it's a shitty question.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, at this point here, we're going to get semantical.
Yeah.
And we're just going to kind of riff for a second, but...
Bad question.
We can all agree that as Mike, not a trivia host, as someone who goes to trivia, you'd be mad at this question.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I would be mad if I was playing trivia, and I would be mad if I was asking it. It's one of those that I would see, and I'd just go... Nope.
Yeah.
No, sir.
So the context of it just asked, what color is the Kool-Aid Man? That blanket statement. He's been described with multiple colors, as we mentioned earlier. But in the original TV commercials, it was a suit, and the suit was a red color. And I also personally have a vintage Kool-Aid pitcher. That my mom gave me for some reason.
If anybody wants to buy that, it's on eBay for $20.
He was red in the picture that I have. He's red in the TV commercials. So I think the question just needs to be... And also, clear is not even really a color. It just kind of describes like an opacity, you know, of pigments. So that part of it sucks, too. There's like no satisfying answer to this question. So if I were to rewrite this color, I would ask it as, what color was the Kool-Aid Man in commercials until the 1990s when they got like CG and shit? You know, that's how I would phrase it. So there's a clear, deliberate answer. It's not just like, are you talking about the illustrations on the packets? Are you talking about the animated commercials? Are you talking about the live action commercials?
Yeah, you can 1960s? Say something like... You know, in most artwork, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. What is it? How is it commonly
red is
depicted?
Far more depicted as red.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you should probably, you know, I asked a question about Mickey Mouse's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yellow,
and
right?
Even with that, nine times out of ten, if you Google him, it's
Steamboat Willie,
stools.
He was black and white.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, you ready for your last question?
Yeah.
Ready.
It's movies. Are we good here?
Mm-hmm. I like movies.
Good. Here we go. What movie won the 1989 Academy Award for Best Picture, beating out the following films? Born on the 4th of July, Dead Poets Society, Field of Dreams, and My Left Foot. Those are some fucking heavy hitters, bub. Those are some good fucking movies.
I have a heavy hitter in mind.
What is it?
The Fisher King.
Maybe. That was a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I believe it did win. So that would be... Robin Williams was in that, right?
I believe so.
So he was he going up against himself?
What was the other movie that Robin Williams was in?
Dead Poets Society, right?
Oh,
you mentioned that in your list.
He was.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, that makes me think maybe not. Maybe Fisher King's like 1990.
Yeah.
Oh, 89. My Left Foot, another great movie. Field of Dreams is a classic, I know, but like I just could never bring myself to watch it.
Oh, it's great.
I saw like 18 million parodies of it on Saturday morning cartoons as a kid, and I was like, I got it. I got it. Plus, I just thought Kevin Costner is just kind of a boring actor.
Yeah.
Overall, personally. He's like the Ryan Gosling of his era. It's like,
you think Ryan Gosling is boring?
Oh,
really?
My God, yeah.
Oh,
this
man.
He's like Cardboard Man.
Wow, I love Ryan Gosling.
Who doesn't? Mr. Cardboard Man.
Jesus.
I saw him. I saw a clip of him singing from La La Land, and I was like, that just seems so unnatural for you.
Man, I'm totally blanking on this. I mean, I can think of movies from that era, but not that would have won, like, Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, like, your Basic Instincts and that kind of stuff.
1989.
Fisher King is my guess.
Yeah, I say go for it.
Is it The Fisher King?
The correct answer is Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, Driving and now, Miss Daisy.
I did have someone come up to me and say, "Oh, in the night on the actual Academy Award website, they are listed as the 1988 film, but on Wikipedia, it's listed as 1989." But no one had gotten it right anyway.
So wait, it won in 1989?
I think.
And it was released in 1988?
Yeah, I think.
Mmm.
Oh. But, I mean, it's still going up against those other movies.
I would not. If you said 88, I would not have guessed The Fisher King. That's way too early for that movie.
Well, I mean, you should still know when those movies came out. It's not like I just gave you one movie.
Yeah, that's you gave me the wrong. I started in the wrong place because you gave me the year after.
Fucking 1 year. Jesus Christ, this guy.
Do I sound like one of your players?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah, you do.
I sound like one of my players, too. Let's see here. Let us see here. The last question that I have for you guys.
All right. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
We got this.
I
got
to make a comeback at some point.
Now, this was also, I used this as a final question, and a lot of teams lost points on this one wagering. So consider it. Mull it over.
Okay.
The NASCON Dino World Championship, held annually in Italy during the summer, is the international championship event for what classic children's game and featured over 70 teams of adults from 11 countries in 2017.
Woof.
The NASCON Dino World Championship.
How do you spell that?
NASCON Dino.
All one word?
Yep. NASCONDINO.
NASCONDINO.
Does that clarify it for you?
It's Italian.
World Championship.
It's in the
held
summer.
Annually in Italy during the summertime. Obama voice. Obama voice.
You say it's a children's game or a children's sport?
Classic children's game.
That's bizarre.
NASCON
70 teams from 11 countries in 2017.
Wow.
It's a growing movement.
I did hear about a growing movement for mostly little girls that play basically like fake ride around on horses. And they do it internationally and they have like competitions and stuff. But I don't know what you would call that.
They just like jump over the hurdles?
Exactly, on fake horses.
Oh, I've seen
that. You
know
what I'm talking about?
God, yeah.
It's really so weird. Dressage. I don't know what you would call it.
They should just play Quidditch.
Totally.
It's the same sport.
I'm going to tell you what my gut answer is.
Yeah.
That I just, the first thing I thought of when he read the question. Hide and seek. Now, I don't know how the fuck you'd play hide and seek with 70 teams.
It'd be like a tournament.
Yeah.
I say go with it. I mean.
Classic children game. Heads up, 7-up.
No.
Tag.
Yeah, it could be.
A fucking 70 team game of tag.
That would be insane. And it's done in the summer, so it probably has to be done outdoors, right?
Yeah.
So that could be tag or hide and seek. I mean, hide and seek could be inside, I guess. I think tag is a pretty good guess, but I don't want to get away from your gut.
No, let's go with tag, if that makes a little more sense.
Makes sense to me.
All right, we're going to say tag.
The answer is hide and seek.
Oh my God.
Hide and seek is the answer.
Oh my God. Yep.
Guys, I've led both of you astray this entire podcast.
It's good though. It makes us check ourselves. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, does the town just open their houses up to people? Like, that's kind of like...
No. So it's done with, and we'll include a video of this in the show notes for this episode on our website, nononsense.fireside.fm. But it's with natural and artificial hiding spots, both. It's played on an open field, basically, and they use part of the environment. Not, you know, if there's a tree there, you can use the tree. But they also have these inflatable structures. So I don't know the exact rules, if there's like a time, like you need to find all the members of the opposite team or something like that. But we will post a link to the video so you can see some of it in action, because it's like it's got that same quality as golf does, where you're just like watching nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so quiet and in the background, you know, you're just watching people play hide and seek. But we'll post a link so you can check out how they do that.
I just remembered that I have another miscorrection for you.
A little late, but okay.
Bum, 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 bum. Quick corrections. Jamie Carmichael.
Mm-hmm.
The distinction between Broadway, off-Broadway, and off-off-Broadway is actually only the number of seats in the venue. He said that you had given some other stipulations as to what off-off-Broadway was.
Yeah, like no union membership.
The only, he says, the other stuff that you had mentioned aside from seats was not necessarily correct.
Okay.
He says the point of the distinction was specifically under 100 seats.
That's the only rule.
It's the only rule for off-off-Broadway.
Okay.
I just remembered that he had sent that in.
I heard from another listener. It was just a comment. I'm sitting in my car right now screaming off-off-Broadway. So
that's the most frustrating feeling in the world when you know something and everybody else is mm-hmm. just like going against you.
Notice me, Senpai.
But yeah.
Mike, thank you for joining us on this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was exciting.
Yeah, you were the bane of both of our existence.
Yeah, I really could not have done worse if I had been like trying to lead you both off the path here.
Yet another chaos agent in our midst. Total agent of chaos. Do you have Hydra. Anything you want to plug? Are you working on anything? I know you're a new dad.
I do.
You've been working on a little project.
Yeah, I'd like to plug my son, Otis.
Word. Shouts. And
shout out to my wife, Abby.
Word. There you go.
Hi, guys. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be listening.
Any podcasts that you're listening to that you want to kind of shine a light on or anything locally that you want to mention?
Definitely Presidential, which I mentioned earlier, is really good. I know you guys like Reply All. That's another great one that's on hiatus right now, but an awesome podcast.
Very. And right now they're kind of doing a best of, so it's kind of a good time to start checking stuff out.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, thanks again. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushnida. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia Challenge live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mark, please tell our listeners where you can be found. And they can be found on Wednesday nights.
Hopefully you can be found where I am, which is at Nice Guys Pints and Pies on Cape Coral Parkway in beautiful downtown, historic Cape Coral, Florida, from 9 to 10:30. Ow, ow, ow! For all you people that like to be up and late. And also, it is now September, October 19th. I don't know if I mentioned this last time we tried to record this, or this time. October 19th is going to be the 4-year anniversary of trivia.
Woo!
At Nice Guys, they have a plan to give away something ridiculous. We're kind of trying to work it out, but
ridiculous prizes.
We gave a 55-inch TV away for the 1 year.
Is it 56-inch TV?
It might be. It's there have been some ideas floated around that made my jaw drop. So
jaw dropping.
This will be a put your phone in a box.
Mm-hmm. Type price.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be able to walk in there with your phone. Like, if you're playing, you're going to have to put your phone in a box and fucking leave it be for a little bit. So
it's my phone in a box.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's coming up. And, trivia.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Challenge on your favorite podcast platform. Write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non-Triv.
No also, Non-Triv. Spotify, guys.
Spotify.
Subscribe. Now we're on Spotify. I live on Spotify, so having everything together like that is... It's going to be life-changing, life-reaffirming.
Everything in its right place.
Mise en place, as they say.
Don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher. 5 stars only, please. No bad reviews. We got a thing going here.
So far, so good. I don't want any of that weak 4-star bullshit. I nary a thought of a 3-star or lower. Mike gave us a review. His dad did, so what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing? Get out there and review for us. We need to climb those charts. Yeah.
But yeah, thank you again, Mike, for being with us.
Thanks, guys, so much. It was fun.
Okay, until next time, No Nonsense listeners, keep on rocking, you Xennials and post-millennials.